Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shatish Anand and today I have with me a very special guest, Rajesh Saluja, who is a CEO and MD at ASK Wealth Advisors. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Saluja.
Thank you, Shatish.
Right. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, another bank goes down and another instance when shareholders' wealth got destroyed. Well, DBS turned out to be a white knight for the 94-year-old bank, Lakshmi Vilas Bank, but it turned out to be a wealth destroyer for shareholders as well. So how can shareholders avoid getting trapped in such instances?
Yes, I think it's a good example of some of the mistakes shareholders make. So trouble for this bank started when it shifted its focus from, you know, the SME segment to large businesses. And this was way back in 2016-17. It loaned about 720 crores to the former promoters of Ranbaxy, and that went into trouble. And then they got sued. Mm-hmm. And after which RBI put them under the prompt corrective action, or what we call PCA, in September 2019. Due to which the bank was not able to issue any further fresh loans or open any branches anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the equity market had started discounting this as early as 2017. And mm-hmm. I think by the time RBI had brought it under the framework, the share price was being bought closer to the par value. We've seen that equity markets do throw up such value destroyers at quite regular intervals. And a whole community of analysts, traders, fund managers, investors keep discounting them on a continuous basis. So indeed, if market correction is any guide, mm-hmm. the true value creators are becoming actually fewer. So there are basically two ways in which you can deal with such events and trend. Right. One is to have a portfolio approach, combining a good mix of all asset classes and products, mm-hmm. so that impact of such duds are relatively minor and are outstripped by other performing ones. Mm-hmm. And the other approach is really to rely, you know, on a fund manager or an advisor with a track record who would ensure that they filter out such potentially bad investments. And even if they are included in the first instance, mm-hmm. they would ensure that there is a timely exit through minimum level of activity.
Right. Well said, Mr. Saluja. And apart from that, you know, we are seeing Sensex and Nifty hitting record highs almost on a daily basis. And the data suggests that Sensex P has zoomed to 29 times, you know, highest in the history. Is it time to turn cautious or just stay put?
Yeah, this is a question often asked, especially when markets run up very aggressively and very quickly. True. Of course, you have to be cognizant of the various types of risks, you know, one is assuming by investing at this high level. Right. High valuations is definitely a concern. But this would even out if the earnings momentum gathers pace mm-hmm. and, you know, actually pans out as projected after many years of rather dull earnings. And I think that's really what, on a month-on-month basis, when you check out the results, you see that there is a upward tick and the momentum is, or the trend is upward. Mm-hmm. However, there are still many sectors of the economy that are not yet back at their previous peaks. And to that extent, real recovery remains somewhat uneven. And this is clearly reflecting in the divergent performance of various sectors and stocks in the index, if you notice. Mm-hmm. So volatility stays on the higher side and you know, the sustainability of flows are not a given under all these circumstances. One thing is there that the fear of COVID has subsided somewhat with the drop in daily cases mm-hmm. and, you know, the various announcements that are coming in of vaccines.
Right.
But it's likely to be a protracted affair, you know, before the economy actually is set on a non-reversible growth path. So I would say that the recovery is highly contingent upon the continued policy support, both nationally as well as globally. So taking all this in mind, we have maintained a neutral stance on equity, which essentially means that you maintain your equity exposure as per your long-term asset allocation. Okay. Across multi-asset classes, there we have, you know, discipline of asset allocation actually is the key mm-hmm. to managing risks of high valuations. And the second is really remaining focused on only quality businesses through a bottom-up stock picking approach. So that's a way you can sort of manage this risk of high P, or, you know, the Sensex zooming at a higher P.
Right. So how would you describe this rally? You know, we are seeing that dips are getting bought, and so are we looking at an early Santa Claus rally?
No, initial part was indeed a hope rally that coincided with, you know, the graded easing that happened in stringency of the lockdown. Mm-hmm. But the FOMO factor, as we call it, the fear of missing out, was playing high. Then that took advantage of the lower valuations, while FII flows and global recovery also helped. However, in the current phase, there has been a reversal in the earlier narrative of India as one of the worst performing major economies and also among the worst affected by COVID. The recovery also has been faster than anticipated, as also has been more broad-based. Corporate results we've seen have outperformed by a ratio of 3:1 and have seen actually meaningful upgrades after many years. Plus, if you look at government, has accomplished some pending reforms and putting in place incentives, including some environment for reindustrialization through its Atmanirbhar schemes. So globally, the key event risk of US election is also behind us, and the fund managers we are seeing are increasing allocation to India. So yes, there are reasons to be hopeful about the future, while at the same time, we should be cognizant about the risks, as I highlighted earlier.
Right. As you rightly said, that fund managers are increasing their allocation towards India. My next question is related to that. This is one common factor which is actually pushing the rally, and that is liquidity. And FIs have started buying aggressively in Indian markets, especially in the month of November. So what is fueling the optimism, for the foreign investors?
So lots of factors that I mentioned earlier, but one, of course, there is enough and more global liquidity. You know, we are all aware that in the COVID times, actually 3 times the amount of money that got printed during the financial crisis, you know, it's actually 3 times the money that has got printed. So you can imagine the amount of liquidity which is there, along with a, you know, environment of low interest rates.
Right.
At the end of the day, money chases growth, and clearly the long-term growth story of India remains intact. Right. So, one is, of course, India also from a relative standpoint was attractive over the last 2-3 months compared to some of the other markets. And if you look at it from a medium-term perspective, there is a strong belief that India will be one of the beneficiaries of the China Plus strategy, along with it being a large domestic market, right? Mm-hmm. So both these factors are fueling a little bit of enthusiasm. Plus, I think, Indian monetary authorities have responded to the crisis very well. Mm-hmm. Example, in formulating the restructuring scheme. Also, India stuck to a very, fiscally responsive stimulus package, mm-hmm. and has demonstrated through, the federal architecture, the state governments too have stayed within the prescribed limits. So, huge borrowing program has gone through very well. You're seeing financial markets have functioned in a non-disruptive way. Mm-hmm. So these are all the factors which is giving comfort to institutional investors and foreign investors. And that's probably the reason you are seeing, a huge amount of inflows once again coming into India.
Right. And finally, what is your view on the Atmanirbhar package 3.0? Do you think, is it enough to kickstart the investment cycle and boost economic activity?
So there are a few reasons why we think that the concentrated effort made by the government actually may succeed this time.
Okay.
First, of course, is the necessity part of it. Mm-hmm. the pre-COVID economy displayed several weaknesses, including lower savings and investments, slow productivity growth, higher capital costs, lack of meaningful structural transformation, twin balance sheet problem, lots of it, slow growth of jobs, corporate profits, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we needed actually a new lever for growth, somewhat critically. Secondly, the global escalation of trade war provided India with a unique opportunity to encash from China Plus strategies of, advanced economies, especially for imports. Right. And third, I would say the measure has been associated with a set of complementary reforms that has been taken to its logical conclusion. For example, addressing doing business in India parameters, et cetera, et cetera. And I would say lastly, a concentrated effort on improving the infrastructure, especially transport infrastructure. And that is being put in place with an enabling condition. So all of these put together, along with the recent, incentive structures that have been put in places in terms of lower and competitive taxation, especially for new units, sector-specific PLI schemes and strategies, all these elements are a part of a back-to-basics growth strategy, right, that would set us to maybe a tad slower, but still better quality growth paths going ahead. So yes, it is enough to kickstart the investment cycle and boost economic activity.
that's good news, Mrs. Ahuja, that the economic package is good enough to kickstart the economic activity, and that's what probably the economy and the investors want as well. Thank you, Mr. Saluja, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay log on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Shatish.